Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. I want to talk now about a book that I saw that it was being offered. Right now I see that it's offered out on WTSBooks.com. That stands for the Westminster Bookstore. The book is called A Father's Gift, Lessons from Proverbs, and it's written by author Kenneth Wingate. And let me read to you just what the publisher's description says about this book. He says, many young let me just adjust the page here. Here we go. It says, many young parents today are beside themselves with anxieties about their children and sadly confused, too, about how to nurture them. The ongoing addiction of our times to the heresy of modernity and its proud rejection and ignorance of tested and tried wisdom of the past inevitably leads to dysfunction in the home and family life. Sadly, the older, wiser counsel of God's Word, and especially the book of Proverbs, is unknown and neglected. Yet Proverbs was comprised specifically as a manual for home and family instruction and to prepare us for life in the world. It is a divinely given handbook to help parents. Well, the author of that book, as I mentioned, is Kenneth B. Wingate. He's a lawyer in Columbia, South Carolina, just down the road, 100 miles or so from where we are broadcasting from here in Greenville, South Carolina. He is a member of First Presbyterian Church, which is an ARP church, Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. Folks may be familiar with that church and the name of that church because Sinclair Ferguson is the pastor there of the church. In fact, I need to ask Ken if he is still the pastor. I know he's retiring and going to be going back, I think, to Scotland, and so we need to find out about that. But Ken is also an elder and a Bible teacher there in the church, and Ken and his wife have three adult children. And he's written this book, first of all, for his own use. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But and now it's going to be available. It is available to you for the use in your families as well. I mentioned that it's out there at WTS Books. It is out there right now for just $11. So I saw this and I thought, man, what a great topic of discussion on the broadcast, but what a great price for you to be able to get a book like this, especially as we're approaching the Christmas season and people are looking for good books and good resources to give to family members. I thought that this would be one that I wanted to bring to your attention here today. Ken, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Good morning. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate you allowing me to have a conversation with you today.
Well, let me ask you about that first thing I mentioned. Is Sinclair Ferguson still the senior pastor there?
Dr. Ferguson has just transitioned in the recent months back to Scotland. He retired from First Presbyterian Church and is continuing a ministry just of writing and of speaking engagements, though not as the pastor of any particular congregation. And Dr. Derek Thomas, many hit listeners may be familiar with his books and preaching as well, has become senior minister at First Presbyterian. So we have been blessed. I am personally grateful to Dr. Ferguson for that introduction that you read for the book, A Father's Gift, and we continue with the ministry of preaching and teaching the Word, hopefully, here in Columbia.
Yeah, many of us in the Reformed community felt it was a little bit unfair that you had both Derek Thomas and Sinclair Ferguson in the one location. You know, it was like you guys got you know, we were a little bit godly jealousy that you guys had been given a better portion. And so, you know, now that's been kind of a little bit more equalized, I think.
We have been doubly blessed, I will say that.
Amen, brother. Hey, let me ask you, in your book, that the timeliness of us talking about this was brought home to me as I started to read through the book. And right in the introduction of the book, you point out that you were in prayer, asking the Lord, you know, what sort of gift around the Christmas season could be given to your children that would have the most enduring value with them. And tell that story about how this came about right around Christmas season.
It was. I remember it vividly. My children, my three children, who are now adults, were early teens at the time. And as I struggled with what would be a gift that would endure, a gift that would last beyond the beautiful packages wrapped and with good intentions of physical objects, what could I truly give them as their father that would be lasting? And as I prayed about and meditated on that question, I kept coming back to the book of Proverbs, in which the very introductory chapter says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, for the instruction is a graceful garland for your head and a pendant for your neck." And as I studied more and more and wrestled with the important information, life lessons that I would want to communicate to my children, I fell more deeply in love with the wisdom of Proverbs and of the skillful manner in which it leads us into a life of abundance and grace and in relationships. I tried to take the Proverbs and almost like opening a package of M&Ms, Kevin, and sorting them out by color so that in groupings, what do the Proverbs on the topic of friendship have to say? What do the Proverbs on the topic of wealth management have to say? And when I did the groupings, that was the beginning of the formation of the book, which ultimately you're discussing today.
You mentioned the word there, abundant, an abundant life. I love that the way that you start the look at Proverbs, because I say repeatedly at the church that I pastor in Traveler's Rest, the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, we talk about, you know, the Christian life isn't designed for us just to get by the skin of our teeth. And so we use the words joyously and victoriously living the Christian life. And when I read about you talking about the abundant life that Proverbs speaks about, it just resonated with my soul that this is what the Lord offers to us in His Word and in His in a relationship with Him. So speak a little bit about that abundant life that's spoken about there.
Yes, of course, Jesus in John 10:10 said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And really, in the Hebrew culture of which Jesus was part, the word wisdom means skillful living or abundant living, making the best choices, how to use time, how to use words, how to use resources, how to build relationships in order to bring about that abundant and blessed life. Not that there's a one-to-one, dollar-for-dollar, so to speak, correlation. If I do this, God will reward me with that. But the general idea that the Lord has given us a guideline for how we should live life and handle these various aspects of our relationships and material resources, and that in those things, as it says in Proverbs 3, that the one who finds wisdom is blessed, and that the gain from wisdom is better than the gain from gold and silver and is more precious than jewels. And her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and her paths are the paths of peace. And so it's that level of abundant life that was the gift I really yearned to give to my children.
Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Ken Wingate about the book that he has written called A Father's Gift. Lessons from Proverbs is the subtitle of it. It's available right now out on WTSbooks.com, out there for just $11, which is 31% off of the normal book rate. And so I'm saying to the listening audience here that one of the reasons why we're talking about this is not only because we talk about the scriptures, of course, on this radio program on a regular basis and theology and so forth, but I thought that this would be a great resource, especially for parents or grandparents looking for a gift that will keep on giving throughout the year to a loved one or to their son or daughter and to their family. I just thought that this would be a great resource for that purpose. And so we're speaking with the author today, Ken Wingate, about the chapters here in this book to give you a little bit of a flavor for what you'll find when you get yourself a copy of this book. Ken, I wanted to ask you then, the first chapter then, you talk about 18 different subjects after articulating the idea of the abundant life that was spoken by Christ. There's 19 chapters in the book, so 18 other subjects that are gleaned from the book of Proverbs. And the first one is one that I think rather prophetically speaks to where we find ourselves in the providence of the Lord as a country today, thoughts of what's taking place in our modern society today. And that subject is the subject of wealth. Just read an article the other day that talked about how many people are now on assistance, government assistance program, welfare programs, and food stamps programs, and so forth. I think the one article said that more people are now on government assistance than the entire population of Greece. In the United States, they're more on public assistance than the entire population of Greece. And we see a lot about wealth redistribution, and we see a lot about people saying, I just heard a conversation today where a person was saying, hey, if I can have money handed to me, why should I bother work for it? We see young people today that are involved in different industries like pro football or music and these types of things, and they're at a very young age have a tremendous amount of money that they're given and have responsibility for because of the culture that we live in. What does the book of Proverbs say to us about this important issue of wealth?
Kevin, I think if I were to summarize the teaching of Proverbs on the subject of wealth, it would be the key principle that God honors those who honor him with their wealth. Mm. And to go a layer more deeply into that, I think the Proverbs, once broken out and grouped, as I said, talk about five or six different key principles of wealth management, that we are to hold material things lightly, not view them as having permanent value. That we are to be content with the provisions the Lord has made for us. We are to be honest, that it is critical, as shown in Proverbs, that the pursuit of wealth and work be done in an honest fashion, that we be diligent, but also that we be generous. It's very interesting in Proverbs. In fact, I would say boldly that generosity perhaps is the key to financial management, because it tests, according to Proverbs, whether indeed we are holding things lightly and whether we are content with less rather than more. And so in giving to the Lord and in giving to the church and in giving to those around us in need, the Lord uses financial resources, uses wealth, both to shape and to grow us, but also to meet the needs of others around us. And there may be, other than perhaps the subject of words or the use of speech, as many proverbs on the subject of wealth as there are on any other subject in the entire book.
Probably one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible is the verse that speaks about the love of money. Many people quote that as saying that money is the root of all evil. The verse says the love of money is the root of all evil. And I think oftentimes that the sin of the love of money is committed by people who don't have money. People that think that the money, you know, there was a program in New York that for the lottery, and it used to say a dollar and a dream. And I think that, you know, here they are trying to get people to covet what they don't have, you know. And I think the idea is, or the sin is committed by many people who think money will, in and of itself, will bring something to them that it can never deliver. I made it a habit over the years that I compiled a number of stories of the people that had won the lotteries and what happened to those people afterwards. And I remember one particular story where at that point in time, the person had won the largest lottery that prize that was ever given out. And he actually said, and what was disturbing about the story, too, was he was already a millionaire, and so he had actually won the lottery by buying a large volume of lottery tickets. So he wasn't satisfied with what he had already had. And yet, so he won this largest lottery prize, and 1 year afterwards, on the year anniversary of playing the lottery, he said that he had cursed the day that he had ever played the lottery. It had cost him the life of his granddaughter and many, many, many other heartaches as a result of it. And so I'm so glad that you write about that issue of wealth in this book and telling people that that money in and of itself, that God is not against us having money, but money in and of itself is not the answer. And if we do have money, there's additional biblical responsibilities that come along with it. Is that the gist of that chapter?
It really is, Kevin. The get-rich-quick mentality, which permeates our culture and which is attached to the gambling enterprise, is faulty on several levels, according to Proverbs. One is that it takes from the poor. In other words, the system is financially built upon a large number of typically poor individuals putting funds in for only one winner to take. It's yes. built upon, secondly, a disincentive for honest work. It's the get-rich-quick, get-rich-easy mentality rather than the diligence and the honest effort. For example, Proverbs 12, verse 11, whoever works with his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. Mm-hmm. So both an abuse of others and a desire to get ahead without effort and diligence, and a thinking, a mindset, I should say, that there is any sort of permanent satisfaction in wealth, which, mm-hmm. according to Proverbs, can take wings like an eagle and fly away, be gone in a moment, and that we are to look to the Lord for our source of contentment, not look to wealth as the foundation upon which we build a life.
Exactly. Well said. I remember, too, one of the chances or the risk associated with actually winning the lottery. I worked for a company that won the contract to print the lottery tickets. And so as a young man, I was working in the warehouse, driving forklifts around. And for weeks upon weeks upon weeks, we printed the losers. And so pallet upon pallet of all the losers that we stored on the racks of all the losing tickets. And then one day we printed the winners, because I remember it specifically because they actually brought in guards, armed guards, and the guards would surround the printing press while we were printing the winners. And then as soon as they were printed off, they would then take them to another location, and they would cut the winners up and collate them in with the losers. But all that printing for all those weeks on the losing, somebody estimated that if you took three football fields, so 300 yards long, and you lined up the football fields with Dixie cups, those little drinking cups, end to end, you know, filled the entire three football fields with it. And then you went up into a helicopter and you threw a ping pong ball out of the helicopter and it landed in your cup with your number. That was your chances of winning the lottery. And so when you start putting it in terms like this, I hope people can see that you're being taken to the bank, you know, that there it's designed to lose is the idea behind it. And even when
yes,
you win,
there's a word of balance here also in that Proverbs beautifully lifts up both the positive and the negative. In other words, there are clearly the warnings, as you have just described, that are crystal clear, but equally and at the same time, Proverbs holds out the blessings of being generous and of being content and of being diligent. And just as much as the negative brings warnings and pain or judgment, equally so, and this was the message I wanted my children to see, how gracious and merciful the Lord is in providing abundantly for his children, the contentment that comes from managing wealth in a godly manner. Mm. And that comes out loud and clear in Proverbs as well.
Mm. Let me jump down to another section here as well. I wish we had time to go through each one of these, but we just don't. But in chapter 5, you speak about another issue that is certainly relevant to where we live today, and all the Word of God is always relevant, but this even more so in our society. It speaks of the idea of what Proverbs says about sexual purity. Speak about that issue, if you would, please.
Again, if we look at the totality of Proverbs and all that it says, and there are several chapters, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Proverbs are principally given over to the subject of what I would call sexual purity or faithfulness in sexual matters. The key principle that comes again is both a two-edged sword, a blessing and a curse, if you will, a positive and a negative, and that is that sexual sin destroys the soul. I would invite folks to especially look at Proverbs 5 and the destruction and the harm and the pain that comes as a given with sexual sin. But at the same time, sexual purity is a spring of life. It's a refreshment. It's a blessing from the Lord. And again, from Proverbs 5, be satisfied. Drink water from your own cistern. And it talks about the blessing and the rejoicing that come in a proper physical relationship within the bounds of marriage. And so again, wanting to not simply be, though certainly clear and crystal clear on the warnings of sexual sin, also wanting to put forth for my children, for any who might read this, the positive side of the satisfaction and the rejoicing and the blessing of a proper physical relationship.
Mm. Let me tell our listening audience, I did a program just on that with a pastor here in Greenville, Rob McCurley. The broadcast was talking about lust, and we were talking about just how it destroys the soul. Escaping from Lust was the title of it. You can go out to our page there at sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth and put in Escaping from Lust in the search engine, and it'll bring that broadcast up if you want to follow that or that subject more fully. Ken, unfortunately, our time is gone. We were only able to speak to a couple of those chapters, but let me give you the last couple minutes of the broadcast here, literally under 2 minutes. But what's your final word to people that you would like to share with folks about the book of Proverbs?
The beauty of Proverbs is that in addition to these different subjects, how to handle wealth, how to handle friendships, how to handle our words or speech, the picture that it gives us of the Lord is of a beautiful and interactive relationship with our Creator. I think the key principle that comes from Proverbs as it relates to the Lord's interaction with us is that the Lord sees everything that we do. For example, Proverbs 5:21, a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. And in trusting in the Lord and in listening to the words of advice that he gives us here and elsewhere in Scripture, he really does promise that abundance. I would leave close this with our discussion with the key verse, I believe, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Mm. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. It's a beautiful relationship that Proverbs gives and portrays. And if we grasp that, we have abundant life.
Amen. Well said, Ken. Thank you so much for writing this book. I want to give folks the information again where they can get a copy of it. And also, thank you so much for visiting with us for a few moments here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. It's something we really appreciate.
My privilege. Thank you.
Okay. That was Ken Wingate. He's the author of the book that we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes or so here on the broadcast. Again, the title of that book is A Father's Gift, Lessons from Proverbs. I think you can hear in just our couple minutes of discussion with Ken, you could hear his heart about a father's heart and an elder in a church coming from that perspective about how he wants to convey in this book and how he does convey in these chapters of this book just what the Lord is saying to us in this tremendous book of Proverbs, of course, that we find in the poetic literature of the Old Testament scriptures. I would highly invite you or encourage you to go out and get a copy of this book. I saw that WTSBooks.com is offering it right now for $11, which is a good price, you know, for this book, 31% off the list price of that book. So it would make a great Christmas gift, A Father's Gift, Lessons from Proverbs, again, by the author Kenneth Wingate. And you can go out there to WTS Books in order to get a copy of that. I want to thank you for joining us for another week of broadcasting here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We got our numbers in for last month during the month of November. Another 5,300 people have downloaded the broadcast. Remember this, Jesus said, He said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.